Thank you so much. Thank you, Barry. Thank you to our praise band. Who's that tall fellow you got playing the bass there? But we appreciate them always. And thank you for coming and being a part of our worship today. I think we said to the early service, thank you for braving the rain and being in our service. We thank you for braving the sun and coming to our service today. We're glad to see you. Would you find your Old Testament book of Habakkuk? We're going to be in Habakkuk chapter 3 to begin with. Only three chapters in Habakkuk, so you just keep your Bibles open or keep that phone ready so you can look at all those verses that we're going to look at today. But we're glad to see you. A couple of shout-outs, I guess, maybe. We appreciate for the past, we got one more week, I think, of our overflow rooms. All of our Sunday school classes, all of our adult Sunday school classes have taken time in hosting our overflow. And I mention it today, you know, some Sundays and some services, we really need overflow. We would not have places for everybody or have to bring chairs in or extra crowded and close to get everybody in. So we appreciate our overflow. We've been started in the middle of August, went through mostly through next week. In November, we may still have overflow available, but it will be as needed basis. We'll have Sunday school classes. Now, I recognize, and if the college class and the Hope class are upstairs, and give a shout out to them and appreciate them being there today and taking care of our overflow and hosting to leave room. Some Sundays, like today, there'll probably be room for all of them. So I started to tell them they could come in, but they have a spread of food on a table up there during the worship service. And so that would be hard to compete with. But you all stay. No, some of you started to go. Stay here if you're here with them. But appreciate that. Know that that's going to be needed as well. So appreciate all of our Sunday school classes. You may have noticed in your bulletin today there's a letter. Dawn Woodrow has been our preschool, weekday preschool director for the past 14 years. And she has done a super fantastic job in leading that, seeking to follow the Lord's will. She is moving on to something else. But there's not a week goes by that I don't run into a parent, grandparent, and sometimes a very person who said, I was a part of Parkway Preschool. So it was a great ministry of our church, and we'll continue to be. You be praying about for that preschool board as they look for that replacement as well. But yeah, she and her family are out, like a lot of people, that are taking advantage of a four-day weekend with schools being on fall break. So, but when you see her, you to say a word of appreciation for her. We're in Habakkuk chapter 3, and going to be reading the last three verses to begin with. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. This now is the word of God. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word today. I had a conversation with a gentleman not too long ago. He knew about Jesus. Some of his family members were followers of Jesus, but he was not. And he had lots of questions, and he wanted to ask those questions. And one of those is he wanted to know about people who are living in parts of the world who have never heard of Jesus. What about them? What's going to happen to them? And hopefully with some empathy, I shared with him. I said, well, funny that you should ask that, because I was just reading in Romans chapter 1. And Romans chapter 1 says all of us who are human beings, we are all without excuse, because the Lord has revealed himself in nature. We sang about it just a moment ago. And that so all of us are without excuse because of our sins, and all of us are in need of God. And the Bible says that all those who seek him will find him. And he said, well, I think regardless of who your God is, it's determined by how good you are. Those who are good end up going to heaven. Those who are not so good end up going to hell. And so you just try to be good. And I'm just going to try to be good. I said, well, you know, a lot of good people think that very same thing, so you're in good company. But Romans chapter 3 happens to tell us there's no unrighteous, no, not one. So if it's based on how good we are, none of us are good enough. There's only been one who's been on earth in the flesh who has been good enough, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came, and he took our punishment, died for us on the cross, and he rose again. So he is the only one that is worthy. None of us are worthy to live eternity with God in heaven without the Lord Jesus. Then he asked, well, what about people who live before Jesus? They can't be saved. None of those will make it to heaven. I said, funny you should ask, Because Romans chapter 4 tells us about Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. He said, well, what did Abraham believe? I said, well, Abraham believed in a living God and a future hope. And we believe in a living God and a future hope that is found only in Jesus. Romans 5:5 says this hope will not disappoint us. What was happening, it was becoming more of a class type debate than it was a gospel conversation. And so what was needed for him, for me, just to tell him a little bit of my personal testimony and had the difference that Jesus makes in my life today. And although there's nothing wrong with, and I sometimes welcome a good debate, I'd like to tell you that this person gave their heart and life to Jesus that day, but he did not. And he allowed me to pray for him in the hope that a seed was planted in order that there might be, it might bear fruit one day. But it does remind me that believers and non-believers often have questions. Sometimes those questions are used to as excuse in order to be able to stay away from God. Sometimes, particularly for believers, sometimes we have questions in order that we might seek God and that we might draw close to Him and we might be able to grow more in faith. We read this morning the last three verses in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. This will be like those shows that sometimes you see and they'll show the very end scene at the beginning. And then there may be a blank screen that comes up, says 10 years previous, 6 months later, or earlier that day. And then they'll spend an hour or two showing all the things that led up to what is the very last part, or the very last part of that. Anybody seen something like that? You look like you may have. Well, this is going to kind of be like that because we're going to look and see. I promise you it will not take an hour or two, but today we want to discover what led to this great declaration made by this great prophet. Even though this is a short three-chaptered book, the prophet Habakkuk who said he will trust God no matter what in chapter 3, it's not the same prophet who first was revealed in chapter 1. The Habakkuk of chapter 1 is questioning God about injustices in the world and why God seems to remain silent when there's so much sin that is going on and why God has remained silent when there is so much suffering. He's down in the valley spiritually because of the circumstances of the day. Most of us, at some point in our life, we can relate to the Habakkuk of chapter 1. Hopefully, by the time we finish today, we will resemble more the Habakkuk of chapter 3. Hopefully, by now, that you've been able to see as we've made our way through the minor prophets that all the prophecies and their purposes are not the same. Now, I have no doubt that they're all giving praise and they're honoring, they're speaking for the Lord, and they're all pointing to a future hope. But some prophets, when they spoke to the northern kingdom of Israel. That was where they were to prophesy. Some, when they spoke, and they prophesied to the southern kingdom of Israel. Some spoke to both the southern and the northern kingdom of Israel. We might remember the prophet Jonah, the reluctant prophet. He spoke not to either one, northern or southern, but he was to go to God's enemies, go to the Ninevites. And there he was to preach judgment or prophesy judgment to the Ninevites. And what did they do? They repented of their sin, and we know that the Lord saved them. We have Nahum that we've talked about before. And Nahum, we recognize that he talked about the Ninevites, but he preached about the judgment so that it was coming to those wicked people that would bring hope and encouragement to God's people. So I think to say all the minor and major prophets are basically the same is not correct. Habakkuk is a three-chapter conversation between the prophet and God. It begins with seemingly uncertainty and difficult questions and ends with an altogether sold-out faith of the living God regardless of feelings, circumstances, or outcomes. Come along with me and let us discover together how to move from a questioning, weaker faith to a strongly grounded faith that does not disappoint. As I look over this sea of faces and realize that we're going to have a quaint time together, we're glad that you're here. It looks like that you have no troubles in the world. All things are good for you. But I really do know different. I know that if for every member and every guest that comes, there's some life issue, some problem, some struggle that you're going through today. And we recognize that we come and we seek to be friendly with one another. We come and we do life together, not because we know that there's no problems when we follow the Lord Jesus. It is because we know the one who is the hope of the world. And we don't want to just hope the best for other people. We want to be agents of hope in order that we might be able to share with others the one who is the hope for you and the hope for me. We want to bring and remind encouragement to others who place their hope in Jesus. That's why we meet. It's why we greet. It's why we worship, why we do life together, and why we love one another as a church. There are also people who've never stepped foot on this campus or any church campus, people you know, people you'll run into during the week who are hurting, have questions, and facing life issues. Our mission on this campus or off is to show God's love by offering the hope that we have found in Jesus Christ. Sure, we are to hope the best, but more than that, we want people to know what we know. We don't want to keep it to ourselves, but let others know what we have found. Many people, if they're honest about what we have and the faith that we have, even those who are believers today, we're glad that we have a future in Jesus. We are excited to know that we have eternal life. But we also want to know, what does the Lord do for us for here and now? What's happening in our life so that we might be able to walk with Him and have benefits for the believer while we walk this earth? Today, we're going to look at the difference that Jesus makes, hope for the future and hope for today. If you've come here today with a real life crisis, if you'll pay attention to what the Lord has to say, you will leave here hopefully with confidence and a confident hope found in Jesus. Think of your greatest crisis of faith right now. In other words, that thing that might would make you or question your faith, maybe that you got questions about God or questions or concerns that might cause you to question even if He's listening or if He cares. Now let's listen in on the conversation that Habakkuk has with God and see if our crisis of faith will not become a source of hope. But before we do that, there's a parallel passage, I believe, in the New Testament, maybe several, but one is found in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 says this, and it'll be on your screen there. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And the hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope in Jesus does not disappoint. Regardless of what you're going through today, you can find confident hope in His joy and peace. His joy and peace. If you're following along in your notes today, we know very little about the prophet Habakkuk except these three chapters. But you remember Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that they were brought in exile from the land of Judah by the Babylonians and taken there, and they were in exile for the 70 years while they were there. We recognize they were there. We don't know about their faith and how faithful they were before. We know that they were faithful there in exile. But they were there because Israel, Judah particularly, had been unfaithful and because they had worshipped other gods. Well, Habakkuk lived before the exile when God's people were very far away from where God wanted them to be. And as a prophet of God, he may have preached, he may have warned where God's people of the judgment to come, but the people did not respond. And no one listened. Even God's response seemed silent. He grew frustrated and unsatisfied with the situation, but one thing he did was correct, was to bring his questions and his complaints to God. Look at Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? I cry to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted." To say that Habakkuk was in a spiritual valley is an understatement. He cried out to God for help, and God seemed silent. Why is there so much injustice even among His own people? The righteous are prospering, and the righteous are suffering, and the wicked are prospering. Does that sound familiar? Prophet Jeremiah and others complained about some of the same things. God then answers his question, but not in a way that he would expect. Habakkuk needed to learn, as we do, God sees a much bigger picture, has a greater plan. His ways are not our ways. But regardless of our circumstances or regardless of God's answer, how long it takes for God to answer, you can be sure that God wants you to experience His joy and peace that comes from a genuine relationship with Jesus, you can be sure that it's available to all who know him. In the parallel passage that we read a moment ago in Romans chapter 5, these verses Paul says to rejoice. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, he says, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We certainly can understand that. And then in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, rejoice in our suffering. Then Romans chapter 5 and verse 11, rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. One of these, as we look at the what reasons he said to rejoice, one of those seems kind of out of place. How do we rejoice in our suffering? We've talked about that before. We're going to talk a little bit more about it today. But this chapter in Romans has a spirit of exaltation and joy that we have as believers because Jesus has paid the price. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, you can rejoice. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, you can rejoice. If you have repented and put your faith in him, you can rejoice and share in his glory. That is, you can experience his glory. More so, we know, than the future when we go to be with him, but we can have no reason for the wait. We can experience him now as we walk in a real relationship with him. Three kinds of peace that we talk about. Sometimes we talk about world peace, and we know that's been in the news a lot lately. Will there be peace in the Middle East? Will it really happen? Will it take place? You know, there are some people, maybe more so maybe a few decades before, they used to think peace. Oh, if we could just envision peace, if everybody just envisioned peace, then there would be the end of all wars. That's not necessarily the kind of peace that we're talking about today. There will not be the end. In fact, Jesus said there'll be, during this time, there'll be the wars and rumors of wars until Jesus comes again, until the Prince of Peace comes and he puts an end to all wars. Peace of mind, sometimes we talk about. Many people are looking for contentment in their life. There are a lot of believers who find contentment in serving the Lord, find satisfaction in serving in the Lord's church. I've got to tell you, there have been times in my life that I just felt like I was at the center of God's will. I could see God at work, felt contentment, peace in my life, and I just felt that the Lord was doing something good, saw blessings all around me. But then there's also been times that I've been unsure. Just confessing to you today, maybe uncertain that I was always doing the right thing. Or maybe I said something or did something that somebody disagreed with as the pastor of the church. Or sometimes there are just those times that maybe things are not going quite as well as I thought. And then suddenly that peace and tranquility that we talk about maybe is just faded. Why is that? It's because I'm a lot like you. I have ups and downs, and sometimes I have great feelings, and sometimes I don't have such great feelings. So I don't think that's the kind of peace that necessarily that we talk about. Sometime back, I had another conversation with a Sunday school teacher, and known this lady well. She was teaching one of our Sunday school classes. Maybe they were going over the fruits of the Spirit. She asked me after church one day, what did I think it meant by the peace of God? I've known her long enough to probably know that she already had an answer. And I said, well, I don't know. What do you think it means? And she said, well, I don't think it has much to do with how we feel because our feelings come and go. And I agreed with her. And so I asked her, I said, do you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? She said, I know. I said, do you know that Jesus has forgiven you and he lives in your heart? She said, I know that. I said, do you know that one day that you'll be able to be with Jesus forever in heaven? Said, oh, I really believe that. I said, do you know that he's walking with you today, has a plan, purpose in all things that takes place? She said, yes, I know that. I said, you know that peace of God that you were asking about? I said, I think you have it. Let's stop searching for that feeling of peace that always seems just out of reach. Stop thinking that just around the next corner, life is going to be the contentment and tranquility that we've been looking for. Philippians 4:7 calls it the peace that surpasseth all understanding. So that may be our problem. We're trying to understand it. We're trying to describe it, put our hands on it, instead of accepting it by faith. In your notes, you have another kind of peace. It's the peace of knowing Jesus. It's the peace of knowing Jesus personally. Today, if you know Jesus, laid down his life for you, and today the Lord has nothing against you because he's forgiven you of your sins, past, present, and future. You're no longer a slave to sin or guilt. That peace that we've been talking about, I think you have it. If you cannot say that, if you cannot say that you've asked Jesus to forgive you of all your sins and Jesus is Lord of your life and you know that you have a home in heaven, well, today perhaps you need to give your heart and life over to Jesus. I want you to be convinced that God grants peace and joy in your life and the result is hope. But if that's hard to swallow, then you'll really have a problem maybe with the next. Because Apostle Paul says in Romans 5 something outlandish, seemingly contradictory, but it's testimony and it's exemplified by the prophet Habakkuk. It is that we can find hope and confidence in our personal struggles and questions. We can find hope and confidence in our personal struggles and questions. Actually, this is only a surprise if you didn't pay attention to what Jesus has told us. For Jesus warned new believers and unbelievers to count the cost. It will not be an easy road. For the New Testament Christian to suffer, to have problems, struggles, even be persecuted, it is more the norm rather than the exception. And the Bible says, count it all joy to suffer like Jesus. God answers the prophet's questions and struggles, and it begins to answer in verses 5 and 6. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says, look among the nations and see wonder and be astounded, for I'm doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. He says, told the prophet, you're not going to believe how I'm going to answer your question. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation who march through the breath of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. The Chaldeans is another name for the Babylonians. God's going to use the Babylonians to come and to bring judgment to God's people in Judah. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar at this time, during the time of he had not risen to power yet. He had not become the dominating power that would come and defeat the Assyrians and eventually would destroy Jerusalem and Judah, carry most of God's people into exile. Well, it led to Habakkuk to even more questions. For while the Israelites were a sinful people, the Babylonians were worse. Habakkuk could not believe God was going to use these pagan people, worse sinners, to discipline and bring judgment to his own people. Read what he asked in verses 12 and 13. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you've ordained them as a judgment. O you, O rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? In the prophet's eyes, he could not understand how God would use these people who are less righteous than Israel. Can you empathize a little bit with Habakkuk? I mean, if you've gone through struggles and maybe you've been praying about particular issues, life crises, maybe a crisis of faith, and maybe it doesn't seem at first that the Lord is answering, and then maybe he does answer, or maybe something else happens or the Lord allows something else to happen and you have even more questions. While many followers of Jesus tend to shrink away sometimes when they have questions or crises of faith, or even get angry at God during the struggles of life, some fall out of church. Instead of more conversations with God, there seem to be less. Bibles tend to get dusty. Ministry and kingdom work become less of a focus, if at all. And while God wants to use your struggles and questions for spiritual growth, he wants to use what you're going through in order that he might build us up, use for his work. Paul says in Romans 5, rejoice because of the suffering. Well, sometimes that's hard to do. We actually rejoice not because of the suffering, but we can rejoice even in the midst of or because of the process. Notice the stages of maturing Christians talked about in Romans 5. We'll put it there in your notes. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character brings hope. Suffering plus endurance plus character equals hope. Suffering alone will not bring hope. But add to that endurance or perseverance in continuing to be faithful. The Lord uses suffering to build our endurance to help us to persevere so that he might build godly character in us. You've heard the definition maybe that character is who you are when no one is watching. Well, Christ wants to make us more Christ-like, more like him. And why would he want to do that? Well, he wants us to have a confident hope. And he wants us to be a useful part of expanding and working in his kingdom. It is so that we might have greater influence. Would you like to be without problems or struggles or questions? Norman Vincent Peale, the author of the book, The Power of Positive Thinking, he popularized the term, God don't make no junk. He would say that you can decide when you get up in the morning, you have a choice. You can choose to feel good about yourself or you can choose to feel lousy. Then he would yell at the top of his lungs, why would you choose the latter? But in Christ, it's more than the power of positive thinking. It is the power of God at work in your life so that we might be able to get up every morning and say, good morning, Lord. Instead of good Lord, it's morning. He also said, and here's a statement I found interesting. We'll put that on your screen. He said, if you have no problems at all, I warn you, you're in grave jeopardy. You're on your way out. You do not know it. If you don't believe you have any problems, I suggest that you immediately race from wherever you are, jump into your car and drive home as fast but as safely as possible. Run in your house and go straight to your bedroom, slam the door, and then get on your knees and pray, Lord, what's the matter? Don't you trust me anymore? Give me some problems. Now, most of us don't have to ask for problems, but we must ask, and we must willingly submit ourselves to allow God and to take our problems, take our crises, and to help to make us better and not bitter, to cause us to draw closer to Him and not further away. Then those stages of maturity that Paul talked about in Romans 5, then they will begin to take place. What else gives confident hope? It's the promise of God's answer and the promise of God's love. Hope never disappoints, meaning the hope that we place in Jesus will never let us down. Here's where we really begin to learn from Habakkuk. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. Chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, I will take my stand at my watchpost, station myself on the tower, look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. He was in the valley, but now he comes to the watchtower. It'd be the guard post at the city gate. He may or may not have actually gone into the watchtower. He may have, but he certainly found himself in a place and a position so that he might be able to hear God's answer. Where can you go? What can you do to show that you're ready to listen to God? You certainly go to God's Word. We find the answers in the Bible. You can certainly go and have more conversations with God and not less, and spend more time certainly in prayer. You can go to God's house and be with God's people. And certainly one of the best ways in which we could listen to God is being able to go and to live faithfully and do the things that we know is pleasing Him. To say that God's not answering my prayer, it may be that you're in a waiting time. God's going to answer your prayer, or it might mean that you're not in the place or the position in order that you might be able to hear from God. Live a life of anticipation, asking as if you know that God will answer, seeking to know that you will find, and knocking to know that the Lord will open the door, all according to His perfect will and His perfect timing. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And the Lord answered me. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. It seems slow. Wait for it. It will surely come, and it will not delay. The Lord's answer is to wait. And he's ready to answer what's going to take place. He even says, write it down. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Says, behold, his soul is puffed up, it is not upright with him. See the first part of that. And he's talking about particularly, there he's talking about the Babylonians who were pridefully taking over every people that they could take, dominating the world at that time. But the righteous shall live by his faith. We're not saved by our own works, but by grace through faith. What a great contrast between the lost and the saved, between the wicked and the righteous. The righteous that are made righteous because of the forgiveness of God. Let us bask here in the greatness of God's word and God's love. This verse, last part of this verse, but the righteous shall live by his faith. It's repeated three times in the New Testament. It's repeated in Romans and Galatians and Hebrews. Stop for a moment and take note. It is the gospel message. It took three books in the New Testament to expound on the greatness of this phrase. In the 16th century, Martin Luther, when he came to understand what this particular phrase means, the righteous shall live by faith, he left the established church and he began what is known as the Protestant Reformation. It is profound, yet it is simple, for it means we cannot save ourselves. It's only by faith in the risen Lord that we can have eternal life. And it's only by walking in faith that we can have abundant life. And the Bible says just at the right time, Christ died for us. Just to write the right times mean just at the right time in history, just when we needed him most. He died for us when we were helpless, when we were lost. The Bible says even when we were his enemies. Do you believe that Jesus loved you enough to die for you on the cross and to give you salvation and eternal life? Well, ask yourself this question. If Jesus loved me when I was lost, does he now love me less? And of course, you know the answer, that he does not. Love always hopes because he always loves. And because he has loved us and continues to love us, we want others to have and to know the hope that we have in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful." I'll admit to you that I've always loved the Charlie Daniels Band music, and Devil Went Down to Georgia. But I also love Charlie Daniels because I know that he became a believer in his life. And he was on the stage with Billy Graham a few times. Listen, wrote a lot of gospel songs, but one of those I found very interesting is called "Jesus Died for You." These are the words. We'll put them on the screen. You may be down and out. You may be down and you may be out with nothing to be glad about, but you can stand right up and shout because Jesus died for you. You may think that you can't cope. You may be drunk and hooked on dope. Believe me, brother, you still got hope because Jesus died for you. Stick a fiddle in it and that will play. It's the message of hope that we know as a result of God's outpouring love. It's the message that we want others to know. Aren't you glad that Jesus came down from heaven looking for a soul to save? But also, you can have confident hope today because of eternal life with Jesus. It is because that we find ourselves confident in eternal life with Jesus that we can find hope for today. That which we experience in part now will be known fully when we get to heaven. Habakkuk chapter 2 in verse 14. "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Remember, we're talking about Habakkuk. He's a prophet. He's prophesying about things that may have been happening in his lifetime, and also about a future prophecy. When will the glory of the Lord be filled? When will the earth be filled with the glory, with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord? Well, only in the future. It hadn't happened yet. But it might remind you of Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." We know it's going to happen one day. And because of that, we can be confident about today. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20. Thank you for walking with me through these three chapters. It says, "But the Lord," verse 20, "but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." We recognize that regardless of what's taking place in the world today, regardless of what's happening in your life, the king is still on his throne. We can still trust in him. Not everybody's silent before him at this moment. Not everybody is reverent before him. But one day, all those on earth will be. And there'll be a future kingdom that'll take place. All of chapter 3 is a prayer or a song. Read with me verses 1 through 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, "A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionoth." Everybody knows what that word means? I don't either. Nobody knows exactly what that word means. We think that it means some kind of direction of music that's going to take place for what's taking place. It's a prayer, but it's also a song that Habakkuk has written. Verse 2, "O Lord, I've heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear? In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Taman and the Holy One from Mount Paran." Selah. You see Selah sometimes mentioned in the Psalms and some of those, perhaps a pause of reflection. His splendor covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. Suddenly, Habakkuk was remembering who God was and all that he had done in the past and coming with much more confidence that the Lord is answering the prayer. And the answer to his prayer, the answer to what he was saying is that, again, that even those who had come and brought judgment, the Babylonians, that they also would come and God's judgment would fall upon them as well. Yes, hope is today and it is for the future. For even the future gives us confidence for today. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 says, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." We lived in a neighborhood in North Alabama. And I had a pond in the middle of the neighborhood right across the road from our house where we lived. And in the 10 years in which we lived there, it froze over only once. And thin ice, looked like thin ice, was all the way across and for a couple of days. And one afternoon, I'm driving into the neighborhood. One of the ladies that I know kind of flags me down, and she said, "Look at those kids who are out on the ice." She said, "I've yelled at them to get out on the ice." She said, "Doesn't the chief of police live in your neighborhood? And do you know him?" I said, "He does. Yeah, I know him." And she said, should we call and tell him?" And I paused. I looked over. I said, "Well, you see that house on the other side of the pond? That's his house. See those kids on the ice? Those are his kids. But we probably should tell him." And, but before we could, he came around, yelled at his kids, and his kids scrambled off the ice and safely was off the ice. You know, you and I were skating on thin ice when Jesus did everything necessary to get us off the ice before we fell through. You simply had to listen to his voice, and he provided a way. If you're a child of God, still sometimes we venture out on thin ice. Sometimes our struggles and our problems, our eternal home is secure, but sometimes in our walk with him, because of our struggles, if we listen to ourselves or listen to this world or to the devil himself, then we will find ourselves wondering, doubting, struggling. But really all we have to do is to listen to his voice. And he brings us back into the right relationship with him and with our struggles. If we want a hope that will not disappoint, we simply have to follow him. Let's read again those verses, last verses in Habakkuk chapter 3. "Have we come to this place? Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I'll take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's, he makes me tread upon my high places." To the choir master with stringed instruments. I don't know if you noticed or not, but in Habakkuk chapter 1, we found there, he was in the valley. We got to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. There, he's in the watchtower. And then we get to the very last verse, the last phrase. He's treading on high places. He's on the mountain with the Lord. We recognize as we walk with him, we may not always feel like we have mountaintop experiences, but we can recognize that God is always at work. And even in our struggles, we know that we can trust him. Today, you can know for sure Jesus died for you, loves you, and is coming for you. A life of faithfulness is to be the response when we have questions, when we have struggles, whether we feel they are answered or not. Let's bow together. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to come into your house and worship you. We thank you for the praises that have been lifted. We thank you for the prayers. Confidently, we know that you hear our prayers. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you even for this Old Testament prophet that we can understand, that we can walk close to you, that we can bring all of our problems and struggles to you. We pray, Father, that if we've been in the valley with some of our crisis, we pray that we've been lifted up today to be able to walk closer to you than we've ever walked before. We pray, Father, today if there are those here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, those listening today, that today might be the day of salvation, the day they know that they can call upon you. Because we know that you offer a future hope, but we also know that you will walk with us today in whatever we face. Father, we pray today that our commitment may be genuine, lift up these prayers in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand? As we sing our song of commitment today, encourage you to follow the Lord's direction in your life, that as we sing together, we continue in worship, and we ask even today that you might do business with the Lord. If you need to make a public commitment, if you need to come forward, giving your heart and life to Jesus, come forward for baptism, even to join the church, this is one way that you can do that. Pastor Keith, I'll be standing down here at the front worshiping along with you, but you just come beside us and let us know that if you've got a commitment that you need to make or even a prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Altar's open if you'd like to come for prayer. As we sing together, you come.